WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Pro Wrestling Sports Entertainment.
Hey, yo, you know what? Hey, speak English. I don't speak that stuff. What you saying, huh?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Believe me, gentlemen, it will be glorious.
Bringing you the news and everything else in the world of professional wrestling.
Suck on that, unit, Kurt.
Hosted by Tim Stein.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
The Omega.
Now shut the fuck up and let me do my job.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Hey guys, I'm good. I made it through. You can untie me now.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler, Keishi Matsunaga.
I ain't got a good brain.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What the hell does that even mean?
And the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
What you getting at with your book? Spit that shit out, man.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
It's me. It's the D-O-double-G.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, everybody. This is Biff Naked. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
It's WTR Sunday Night.
Wow. The insecurity level with you guys is ridiculous.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. At this point, I think I'm going to start a bingo card of just, like, who is still employed in WWE by the time the year's up. Because, good Lord. So, it's been a traumatic week and a confusing week in pro wrestling, so we have to talk the biggest headline, which is, yeah, as stated. So let's get to it. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining me tonight, we have Sorokin.
Yes.
Hi.
I've not been released yet.
Not, no. Okay. Good to know. All right. So, let me check here. Have we released Keishi Matsunaga?
I don't think you guys pay me enough to put a dent in the bottom line if you did release me. So I'm probably going to be sticking around for a little while until I say something stupid. And even then, you guys might keep me anyway.
I mean, we're all still here, so obviously that's not a career concern. All right. And have we future endeavored one Tim Stein?
That would be ultimately impossible, seeing as I pay for everything.
Oh, no, board of directors might kick you out.
Well, if they buy me out, there'd be a hell of an offer. You know, the board of directors are broker than I am.
That's saying something.
That is saying something. Oh, the joys of being self-employed. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Omega, is it raining in your area right now?
It's Florida.
So, yes.
Well, even if I tell you no, that could change before I get the word out of my mouth.
I'm just watching the boxing pay-per-view, the Logan Paul Floyd Mayweather card, and the last match that was on right before the co-main event is happening right now before Mayweather and Paul take the grand stage, if you will. The fight took twice as long as it should have because it started downpouring. And the wind was blowing the rain into the ring. The ring is covered, but they're still in an open arena. I'm not sure. They're in Miami,
yeah,
if I remember
Florida.
Correctly.
It's the one time I get to root for Mayweather.
Yeah. Well, I said The Rock earlier. I was just as I was putting it on. He asked what time the fight was. And I says, well, the card's starting now. I said to him, it's probably the only time that I'm going to be watching a botching match where I not only am actually rooting for Mayweather, but hoping he knocks his opponent the fuck out.
I'm hoping he reduces his opponent to blood porridge.
Can we stop calling it boxing? It's just sports entertainment. It's rigged.
Well, I'll tell you, the first fight on the card was definitely not boxing. Chad Johnson taking on some guy who had, like, I think, four fights to his name. Chad Ochocinco.
What?
Yes.
He's not playing the foosball anymore?
Oh, he's way too old to play the foosball.
He's, well, like, in his 40s.
I don't pay that much attention, so.
Yeah, he's in his 40s. And the fight was so bad, it was watchable. In other words, you couldn't look away. It was just, every time you saw something bad happen, you kept your eyes peeled to see if anything worse would happen. And yeah, the entire bout was like that. And the guy that he fought, I can't remember his name, but after four fights, he figures he's got his name on the map now. Because it was an exhibition, so there's no score. But he figured that he beat his boyhood idol, and so he's got his name on the map. And he says, "Yeah, y'all may be remembering my name now." Then he says his name, and I completely forget what it is. So, but yeah, we got a little bit of a change in weather, at least on the North American continent, from what most of us experienced this past week. We had a heat warning in southern Alberta, Canada here, guys.
Did it get all the way up to 40?
Celsius.
Not quite.
Almost. Which, 32 Celsius is like 90 degrees or something like that. And it was over 90 degrees on Wednesday. And I was outdoors building a fence.
It was hot.
It was hot. I lost 10 pounds on Tuesday and Wednesday. Just working in the heat. There's no clouds. Sun beating right down. And my legs are still lobster red.
Got to put on that sunscreen, Tim.
Yeah, that didn't work.
I don't know what to tell you then.
Well, there you go. But before we get kicking off with the show, I just want to say congratulations to Team Canada winning the gold medal today at the World International Ice Hockey Federation Championships, beating Finland in overtime. Final score 3-2. So, yay, Team Canada.
And yay, indeed.
Congratulations to the United States. They won bronze. So they get a participation medal. So I just wanted to put that out. And now it's time to talk about what we're planning on talking about. Omega, you mentioned it at the top of the show. More talent released this past week by WWE.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at Braun Strowman, Aleister Black, Ruby Riott, Lana, Buddy Murphy, and Santana Garrett. Did I miss anybody?
No, that's it.
That's on the most recent list, yes.
The most recent list is this past week. Looking at that list of releases, Casey, what's the biggest surprise for you?
Aleister Black was pretty surprising because they're just kind of getting going with him.
Bringing him back.
Yeah, after sitting wherever he was sitting for the longest time, you would think that if they were going to release him, they would have done it before they put him on TV.
With giving all that time to return promos and stuff like that. Omega, yeah. Shocked?
I mean, absolutely. They just started using Black on TV again. They just started a new character arc for him.
Well, apparently, and I don't have the full details, but apparently a couple of these releases actually requested it.
I mean,
and
it's not shocking.
Nope.
Just wondering if our producer is paying attention, if he might have any info on that.
There's no name is attached, but I think you can probably figure out the couple that did. I would assume Murphy would be one of them.
Who would be the other one, Ruby or Lana?
Santana Garrett, probably.
You think Santana?
Yeah, because they haven't done anything with her except for, what, the Royal Rumble appearance in a year? Yeah. So,
see, that because they've done so little, it strikes me as one they could just let go. I think it'd probably be more Lana, who got used for a long time and then they just stopped. Nothing.
She's been featured on TV every week, so.
And then they teamed her up with Naomi.
And still featured on TV every single week.
Maybe Naomi's the indirect kiss of death.
The new Stacy Keibler.
Not a shot at Naomi, but it just seems like anybody that gets close to any kind of partnership with Naomi winds up not being with the company for very long.
It goes all the way to Naomi's debut.
Yep. She's stopping you. Think about it. She was one of the Funkadactyls.
Yeah.
And she's the only
Cameron
one left.
Cameron and Brodus are both gone.
Yep. Thanks for picking that up. I was afraid that might have been too much of a reach for some people, even though it shouldn't have been. But anyway, Braun Strowman released. Is that not a minor shock?
It is, because it seems like he was like their go-to big man. It seemed like that was like it's a shock because of how much they put into Strowman.
Yeah.
You know, because you have all those different vignettes where he's pushing things over and showing this just gargantuan amount of strength. You have a lot of attention in his character work at times. And they had a bunch of merchandise for him. Like, this is someone that they had, like there's like they did that, like the car he trashed, they did a toy of it.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, this is not anyone that they just said, like, oh, we're just he's just sitting around. He's not doing anything for us. No, this is someone they put a lot of money and time into.
And he was regularly hanging around the main event on Raw.
I mean, when he's that big and they've done that much to put him over, then yeah, it's one of those people you can just pop in there and just whatever main event slot you need, just because he's that big and you've written him to be that strong.
Yeah.
That's how he wins the Universal title, because they needed him to transition it.
So one that I find to be I'm not shocked by it, but I'm mildly surprised is Ruby Riott.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you think about it from the perspective as like, you know, a fan, you kind of look at it like, why are they breaking up tag teams by putting them on separate shows and then re-tag teaming them with other females? Why are they breaking up tag teams of females that have been tag teams for a long period of time by letting one of them go when you have a barely salvageable women's tag team division as it is?
No.
Now with the release of Ruby Riott and Lana, and, you know, even you go back further to the releases in April with the Iconics, you're dwindling down that division. Like, how many women are even left to work tag team matches, let alone singles matches?
Well, WWE is not exactly well known for taking care or protecting their established tag team wrestlers, male or female, which makes no sense when they throw two single stars together to form a tag team instead of focusing properly on established teams.
See, I look at Braun and I look at Ruby, and there's part of me that can't help but wonder how much of this just comes from WWE officials or writers thinking that, well, we already have these bases covered, we don't need them anymore. You know, if you look at Ruby Riott as just a commodity, then you have to look at Rhea Ripley as your other punk girl right now that's more over. You look at Braun Strowman, and you have on Raw almost now, you know, who is bigger, younger, and works a lot cheaper. And anything that they could put Braun in because he's the big guy, they can do with almost.
Yeah.
Who's kind of bigger than Braun.
That's what I said. Yeah. Yeah. Younger, bigger, and cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the only problem with that is now you're kind of starting at, you know, big man wrestling square one, where you've got this big guy who's, you know, it's great that he's big and imposing, but did you bring him up too soon? And now you've got to work on, like, you know, getting him to the same point that you got Braun Strowman at as far as ability to work in the ring, and who knows how long that's going to take, right? So I mean, are you probably saving a boatload of money by getting rid of Braun Strowman and keeping almost? Absolutely. It's just, how much of a return on that investment are you going to get by having to, like, redo everything?
They don't care.
No, they honestly don't.
This is the company that made Great Khali a world champion and a Hall of Famer. They don't care about the acclimate of their big men. They just need a big guy in a match once in a while.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's hard. Like, that's where you kind of get to that point where, do you really want to overanalyze it? Because we all know at the end of the day, a lot of these cuts were done just for the sole sake of saving money.
No.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks because you look at these people and we've seen them grow and evolve. We've seen what they are capable of. And then to realize they're just viewed as a commodity to the company. And as soon as that commodity is replaceable, they're done.
Yeah.
Now, Braun has basically, he's on record as having said previously in the past that he will hang the boots up if he doesn't work for WWE. And so at this point in time, we're going to have to take him for his word. But for the rest of this list, who do you see going to AEW?
I think
Andrade.
Good one. Yeah, I have a good feeling about that one.
Yeah.
I think Aleister Black's the obvious one.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think what was confusing about that is Selena Vega was spotted at the Performance Center again. Like, she might have been on her way back to the company, and now the husband's on the way out.
Mm.
But no, like, Black feels like the easy, like, because the guy is fantastic in the ring. We've seen that in NXT. He's capable of being a really strong character. Someone's got Randy Orton doing a run in right now.
I think Tim's getting a phone call.
Yeah, you know, Tim's getting a phone call.
There was part of me who was thinking, like, oh, like, there's part of me in the second thinking, like, oh, Aleister Black would actually be, like, perfect for taking over the Dark Order, but I don't think they're ever going to do anything but with the Dark Order at this point except be a Brody Lee tribute.
Yeah, and a comedy act. And then John Silver came out and said, we don't need anyone.
Yeah.
They had the best leader. They don't need a new one. No, you could plug Santana Garrett in there. You can plug Ruby in there. And they'll help their women's division.
Oh, yeah.
Tenfold. And I guess Braun would probably fit there, too.
I mean, yeah. There's part of me that thinks Braun might do better in New Japan, just because it's been a long time since they just had a huge Western wrestler there, and they always go over really well.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, like, just put him in, that would be the best place for him to further develop, right? Because you can just put him in a whole bunch of multi-man tags that they have on a regular basis there, and he can kind of take his time and, you know, learn how things work and develop something different.
So my apologies. My phone rang. That's why you heard the Randy Orton theme. I wasn't getting RKO'd. That's my phone. My phone ring. Work related. So I had to take it. Where were we when we were so financially interrupted?
They went over the names of who's going AEW or beyond, and they were just talking about New Japan.
Okay. What about Impact?
You see, can't even say anything. I can't even make the joke anymore because Impact's been throwing money around lately.
Mm-hmm.
The last group is probably more going to Impact than this group.
Yeah. This group has some like big deal names in there, and Tony Khan's the one with a pocketbook that can actually get them. Impact. Yeah, you're looking more at the mid card releases. You might find Buddy there.
What about Ruby?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I feel like the women that are getting released have, I would say, like, more options as to where they could go that they could, no pun intended, but make an impact. Doesn't matter, not just at AEW, but at Impact or ROH or, you know, multiple places. They seem to have more of an option of, like, being a big deal wherever they go.
I'm thinking Lana's going to hang out with her husband.
Yeah.
That's an obvious one, yeah.
That's pretty much a given, but yeah. 90
the
day no
real
compete.
Question with that one is whether or not it's just going to be in a managerial position, or is she going to wrestle?
I don't think he needs a manager. Like, Miro's doing great in AEW right now. Like, I you talk about letting heels be heels. Dude on the last pay-per-view chucked Jake Snakebag all the way back up the entrance ramp.
Yeah,
that's a bastard thing to do, even if it is a worked bag.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my list disappeared. I hate when that happens. There we go.
Tim lost the script.
I lost the script.
But I mean, you know, a lot of that is what, 90 days down the line? So we're looking at September?
Mm-hmm.
End of August, yeah.
So plenty of time for speculation. And then you've got everybody who is released in April. That's coming up in just over a month. So,
well, here's another question. What are the chances, or am I reading too much into this? The last time they had a big bunch of releases and there were some big names on it, they ended the brand split.
No.
Do you see them consolidating again?
Tim, they have as of last year, they had 300 wrestlers on their contract.
Yep.
They're not ending the brand split.
No, this is just something to talk about and throw out there and discuss.
I don't think so.
But y'all shot it down, so forget about discussing it.
But at the same point, here's the thing. At the same point, they're only going to probably have one touring group for the foreseeable future, so you don't need a large main roster for one touring group.
Yeah, and we're literally just a month away from them doing shows in front of a live crowd on a weekly basis again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I got to admit, that's kind of I'm seriously looking forward to that. I don't want it to sound too geeky or marky, but it's kind of exciting.
It's not just them. Everyone on the week of like the 14th, 15th of July are having crowds again. From Ring of Honor to Impact to AEW to WWE to MLW, everyone that week will have a crowd.
Just in time for all those April 17th guys to
make their debuts.
Make their debuts the following week.
Yeah. Well, it really makes a big difference, and it's a huge impact when you've got people at live events. Right now, the NHL playoffs are going on, and you can just feel the difference. And I swear you can see the difference in play in the United States. The American teams, like watching Las Vegas versus Colorado last night, and the stadium, the stands, the arena in Las Vegas was packed.
Tim, here's the thing. The other day for the Sixers game, a home game, like last Monday or whatever.
Yeah.
They had 15,000 people in the building.
Yeah.
And there were 15,000 people screaming asshole at a referee. That felt so good.
I bet you. Now, the other half of what I was going to say before you interrupted me, up here in Canada today, Winnipeg Jets played the Montreal Canadiens. They had 2,500 people in the arena. Up here in Canada, they still have a very, very strict bunch of crap going on. And it's, you know, not to get political, but it's because of our government dropped the ball on getting the vaccines. We are really, really far behind. As a result, we're not going to see live crowds like that until like August, when our Canadian football season finally gets underway. We'll have full stadiums by then, but it just makes a huge difference. And as much as these guys poured everything into everything they did for the last year and change, there's just a different type, you know, a different level of adrenaline just watching when you got a whole bunch of people who are able to attend. So yeah, I'm admitting it. I'm kind of excited for July.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
So that'll be good.
The interesting thing when you have crowds on a weekly basis in WWE again is WWE doesn't completely control the narrative anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of those things that like is going to be one of the most interesting to experience when the crowds come back, is like how they react to everything that WWE is currently doing right now.
Uh-huh. When they can't just pump the audio in and tell you, no, this is the good stuff, this is the bad stuff.
It's kind of like watching a sitcom filmed in front of a live studio audience as opposed to one that has a laugh track.
Indeed.
So, but yeah. Anyway, if you had to reduce the roster, Kesh, would you release anybody differently than the list of people that happened on the 2nd?
Well, I mean, it kind of depends on like why you're releasing the talent, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to what the WWE said, and they said, well, we're budget cuts. Well, then, I mean, you look at, and what has been said on the internet is as far as like, you know, Braun's contract was big, Lana's contract was big, stuff like that. I mean, you trim those people to save the money. And I mean, those are two names that you can cut, and it's not going to deeply impact anything that's kind of going on with the programming. Does it suck to get rid of them? Yes, but like you say, you know, with almost being there and Lana being a blonde wrestler that they have a dime a dozen of, I, you know, they're going to be okay. Some of the other names like Aleister Black and Santana Garrett and Murphy, I mean, Murphy wasn't being used that much at all, so it makes sense to cut him. Santana Garrett wasn't being used at all, so I mean, if she asked to be cut, then that makes sense. And kind of going through who's kind of on the roster, it's hard to say that there are too many different people that I would have got rid of. I would have got rid of Jackson Riker for sure because of things that he's done in the past. But I don't think that would have impacted their bottom line the same way someone like Braun Strowman or Lana's releases would have done.
No.
But I mean, if you kind of scroll through and see who's left as far as on TV personalities, you know, Riker stands out. You know, if you want to save some money, don't bring back Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Because that's going to save you WrestleMania 37 pirate ship load of cash.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants Brock Lesnar coming back.
Wow.
I do. I do. Bring him back tomorrow.
That's going to come up later in the conversation.
bring him back tomorrow. They need it. He's an attraction.
Yeah. Like
He does bring the eyeballs.
He does. And so, I mean, like, there's a reason that they give him the money that he asks for is because it brings eyeballs to the product when Brock Lesnar is wrestling. Even though he doesn't wrestle as often as he does, when he's there, and it's undeniable, especially when the fans were there, when he comes out, he gets a loud reaction, whether it's positive or negative, whether people on the internet talk about how it sucks that they pay him so much money and he only works five times a year. But when he comes out and does stuff at those events, he gets a loud reaction. So, I mean, it's undeniable, but
if you're good at what you do, you want to save
some money, you say, well, right now it's not such a great time as much as we need you. You know, you try and negotiate his contract down, or maybe the plan is to bring him back so they have to make some of these cuts.
I don't think one has to do with the other.
No, I don't think it does either. But, I mean, if he does come back in the next couple months, there are going to be people who are going to say that it did.
Oh, everyone.
Yeah, all the money that they're currently saving on these latest releases are going into a savings account for when Brock comes back.
Oh, everyone's already on Eva Marie, and oh my God, Eva Marie's back, and they're paying her money, but they got rid of this person, this person, this person. Eva's been there for 6 months already.
Yeah.
They've been paying her since, October, November, something like that.
Exactly. So, I mean,
it's not like she's taking
They're not mutually exclusive things, but. Yeah.
But no. Oh, if you read the internet, everyone's going after her about it. Oh my God, why you could have had the Iconics, but you got rid of Eva Marie. Oh my God, you got rid of Ruby, but you have Eva Marie.
I mean, there's still validity to that. I mean, if you want to cut dead weight, I'd much rather get rid of Eva than I would Ruby.
Yeah, but I mean, then you go, well, how much are they actually paying Eva Marie? Maybe getting rid of someone, like, maybe cutting her isn't going to save you the type of money that
it's not.
See, that's the thing, is like, you know, if you're looking at this list and going, who would you have rather cut? We're looking at a level of talent and character work and how much they are used. That is, as we've already established, that is not the reason anyone was cut. Nope. It was cut strictly for money, which is, like, last I checked, WWE had record revenue last year, but now we need budget cuts.
You have a size of 300 people on your roster. You don't need the hoard talent.
But there we go. If it is just a matter of number on the roster, trim out the fat and don't fire the people we just started using on TV. Don't fire the established guys that we've put a lot of money into already.
In the next 5 years, how much more can you get out of Braun Strowman?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Has he peaked?
I mean, he honestly, I would think he didn't even peak at, like, the Universal Championship. I think he peaked the night the cello came out. Because okay. That's the night you found out he was more than just a big, strong guy.
Yeah, like, but that could have also been the night that, you know, that could have been his peak. Because once you find out, oh, he can do comedy.
I mean, there is something, see, like, if you bill it right, there is something more imposing about someone who can goof around like that. Because they know that they are untouchable.
Oh, absolutely. But
it's like, I am such a badass and I am such a big powerhouse. I can do whatever the fuck I want and no one can do anything about it.
Oh, absolutely. Because as soon as someone starts giving him the gears about it, be like, what's funny? And then he gets serious and you're just like, oh, nothing. I was just thinking about how funny it would be when you hammer fisted my entire body into the ground.
This is just somehow, for some reason, this little part of the conversation has brought to mind that scene in Goodfellas.
Oh, ha.
Joe Pesci. What do you mean I'm funny? I'm funny how? I amuse you?
See, it's not even that. Like, I'm imagining Braun in the back practicing his cello. Like, someone like a John Morrison comes up to mock him, and Braun just puts the cello down, stands up, throws Morrison across the locker room, sits down, and just calmly keeps playing.
Goes back to it again. Yeah.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, I'm disappointed that Braun's gone. I'm disappointed that Alistair is gone. But I really don't know who else I would have released Omega.
See, this is where it goes back to the commodity element of it. You know, because if we're cutting dead weight, you look at, you know, I wouldn't look at Ruby. I'd look at Dana Brooke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would look at the people on the roster that have had chances and haven't really turned in too much, you know, or I would look at the people that are still on the roster where are their careers salvageable? Can you salvage the career of Slapjack? Just as an example.
Not without a major repackage.
Yes, all of those guys from Retribution are just like dead weight right now, simply because that went over so badly. Like, that's a lot of work just to make them credible again. So again, like, why would you get rid of the people who are already credible, that you've already put money into? We're firing these guys, and now we're going to reinvest to rebuild the things we already broke.
Well, here's the catch-22 on that. WWE has, for a long time, taken a lot of flack, and you know it, about not creating new talent. So if they get rid of these younger ones, you know, like Slapjack would no doubt be an example, you're going to get people bitching and complaining that he never got the opportunity. And again, more examples of WWE not making new talent.
But that's the thing, is when you look at someone like a Braun Strowman, they did the work to make him a new talent, and then they fucked it up.
Yeah,
they make him this huge powerhouse, and then they have him lose like every big match he has.
Jeez, so Bray Wyatt comes to mind.
That's the next one I was going to. You create the most menacing character since The Undertaker, and you fuck it up.
Yeah.
Like, that's why you're not building new talent, is you're not letting anyone succeed. You're putting all this money and investment into building up these characters, and then they lose.
Yeah.
So whatever you built up is immediately thrown away. That's why they flounder. That's why they lose credibility. That's why they're not stars.
I cut
the legs out from Stone Cold every time he was in a big match. You wouldn't, you know, 316 wouldn't have meant shit.
This is truth. Absolute truth. Is like, I was just going to say, like, when it comes to Bray Wyatt, I was 100% invested in the character when they debuted him, right up until he lost every pay-per-view, every major important match.
It was the Seth Rollins match first, because it was at the dumbest fucking ending, a DQ in a Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, and just immediately downhill. And now here, you know, we had the blow off at WrestleMania, but WWE wanted to throw in some bullshit Shyamalan twist. So he lost clean to one RKO.
Yeah.
This guy is supposed to be unkillable. This guy is supposed to shake off everything. RKO.
You know, Bray Wyatt is a great example of how they salvaged the wrestler.
Yeah, but look at how much about, that
can they
took.
Salvage any talent without a major massive makeover? Bray Wyatt got a makeover. It wasn't major or massive. It was tweaked. Yes.
I would say that is persona is tweaked, but I definitely think it's like it's probably the biggest makeover in terms of he had his own set. He has his own crew of puppets they had to build. He has extra music on top of what everyone else normally gets. Then there's the Fiend costume where they hire horror movie professionals to create the masks.
Yeah,
there's a shit ton on top of just how many promos and vignettes and everything that they did for the guy.
Yeah,
it's one of the biggest reworks they've ever done. And that's what it took to get him back from what they buried the cult leader Bray Wyatt into.
And for some reason, it worked and you were able to accept it when Randy lit him on fire.
I don't know how much I accepted it. But...
Well, in a weird way, it worked. Whereas him... as Bray Wyatt losing to everybody at every pay-per-view didn't. His character currently is even more menacing now because they handle it properly for a change. And just bringing Alexa into the whole picture and having her cause him to lose at Mania after she was one of the, you know, like his only real non-nerf disciple.
See, they had that working. I was way into that aspect of Bray's character. I liked the dynamic. I liked the Harley to his Joker. I liked what they were doing. And then they wanted to pull a bullshit twist and they haven't explained it. That's the thing. You say that, not yet. The two characters completely like forgot it happened and just went off to their own thing. Bray's back to doing the Firefly Funhouse, and he's barely shows up again. He's not in any feud. He's not doing anything. Alexa's starting something now, but they haven't even touched on it. Like at this point, like we want an explanation for what the fuck happened at WrestleMania, you know, and we got nothing.
Well, I hate to admit it, but I am still hopeful that eventually they will get back to this and explain the storyline. I know, wishful thinking.
you are an optimist.
I'm in my prime.
Ouch.
Speaking of Prime, if you have Amazon Prime, you can do Twitch Prime and you can subscribe to the channel for free by clicking that purple rectangle button below the screen. Ding.
I hate you all.
Ding.
Except Casey. Casey's cool. The rest of you suck.
So... But yeah, I don't know. We pretty much beat this one to death, I think.
Let's move on.
Why don't we talk about the WWE title picture?
Yes, let's.
What title picture?
Yeah.
The one where they bring Brock Lesnar back.
Yeah, what the hell do you do with the title picture? I mean, if Drew doesn't win at Hell in a Cell, what do you do? First off, before we go to the second half of this question, what do you do with Drew if you have him lose at Hell in a Cell?
So the thing is, there's no top card anymore. It's like he's already done everything with Randy. You're not going to do that again.
No.
You put him in a tag team.
Put him in a tag team.
Oh, yeah.
I get that's funny, but at the same time, like, what else do you do with him?
I mean, Morrison needs a partner right now.
Yeah. Well, what about starting a program with Almas?
Because then what do you need to do that? Oh, right, a tag team. See?
They've had tag teams fight single matches and do singles programs.
Yeah, but you also still
I don't see Almas being good enough to do that.
You need him to have some sort of partner at some point, because he can't just, like, randomly choose someone every week to have his back when AJ Styles interferes in every single match that he has with Almas. Mm-hmm. And vice versa. Every single match that he would have with AJ almost would get involved. So you've got to have someone to eventually have his back to make the program last longer than, oh, he wrestled almost 1 week and AJ Styles the next week. And then, oh, what do we do with Drew again?
Make a deal with the devil and have him team up with Randy.
Nah, because Randy's with Riddle.
I know.
Drew McIntyre with Drew Gulak.
Just because they have the same name?
Yes. Hey, you know, I mean, that's something that they would do. It is.
Yeah. And you hear an announcer calling them Two Drew.
Two Live Drew.
Oh, God, that's even worse. I knew what I was saying was bad. And you double down.
You know I'm going to double down. That's what I do.
I mean, it's not outside the realm of possibility for WWE to be like, huh, let's put both Drews together. It'll be funny.
Then you get WWE Hall of Famer Drew Carey as the manager.
Because, I mean, if Drew didn't do the whole thing with Sheamus already, I'd be like, oh, yeah, put those two together. But that's been done already.
So it's like next to impossible to figure it out. The only other thing
is, like, you know, hope Keith Lee comes back in the next short while and maybe they can kind of throw him into the mix to keep either... you know, give Drew someone to wrestle or give Bobby Lashley someone to wrestle.
Well, what was Keith Lee's injury?
We don't know.
It is undisclosed.
That is so weird.
He went out at the same time as Mia Yim. She had COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But we have no idea what happened with Keith, whether he got it too, whether he's still dealing with the side effects and long-term effects, or he could have just hurt something. We don't know.
Could be head injury.
Okay, that's actually good speculation. WWE hates admitting that those happen.
And that's why we referred Zero. And that's why they won't let him say anything either.
Yeah, that's possible too.
So, for the second half of the topic, who's Lashley's next challenger?
Brock Lesnar.
Are you going to bring Brock anywhere near WWE before SummerSlam?
Just before SummerSlam.
So that leaves a lot of time for Lashley to sit on his ass doing nothing.
Well, when is SummerSlam? SummerSlam's in August, right?
Right. Middle of August.
And Hell in a Cell is this month. So they only have one pay-per-view. So what? Who could occupy that time? I mean, really, if you want to, you could just have, if you're going to bring Brock in, have Bobby Lashley just run through the roster and be like, is there anyone left? And then
Drew just keeps coming out. They've had that chance, but they decided to book, Drew versus Lashley 1,000 times.
So I don't know. What do you do? Like, I mean, Priest could step up for a month. He's with The Miz being gone, there isn't really a whole lot for him to do. Morrison could kind of get in there
Morrison's an extremely underutilized talent.
Yeah, they could bring him in between, Hell in the Cell and the July pay-per-view, especially with The Miz being out. It would give him something to do while The Miz recovers.
See, these are viable ideas. They're not going to do any of them.
No, I mean, unless The Fiend does something with him, which I don't see happening. Cause
they said if they're setting up for Lashley and Lesnar, they're just going to have The Fiend lose again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it also, Lashley's deal doesn't seem like something that would work with The Fiend anyway.
Can you see a program with Drew and The Fiend?
More than I could see one with Lashley.
I have to kind of agree with you. That would be a more likely scenario.
Yeah.
Than Lashley. But shit, who's Lashley's next opponent before Brock Lesnar? Who are you going to feed to Lashley?
Even though he lost on Monday, you could kind of give Kofi another chance.
There's someone else that they left flounder.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about it because Kofi will be perfectly fine. He's proven he can be perfectly fine no matter what he's doing. So
yeah, but that's another one of those cases of, well, we built a new star, audiences way behind him, and we're going to job him out to Lesnar in 8 seconds. No more star.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't see anything like super long. Like, there are a couple guys that maybe could go a little bit long term, but really it would only be, I would say, the more realistic thing that they would do is have Lashley just like maybe 1 or 2 weeks against a bunch of guys leading up to Lesnar building towards SummerSlam, is my feeling. Unless Keith Lee comes back.
They've got 2 months of figuring something out.
Yeah.
Now, as far as Keith Lee, would you just spring him on people or would you build him up? You'd build up the return.
You know those Sheamus open challenges that have been on TV lately?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a good way to bring him back.
Yeah, that would be really good. Because that would get
That'd be a nice little program for him.
Yeah.
So that would be just bringing him on the audience instead of building up his imminent return.
In which case, if they're going to do that, then they should wait till the crowds come back.
Yep. In a month. You're going to have a lot. You should wait for all your surprises. No build. Just throw all the surprises you can.
Well, essentially, you've got four weeks of television, which is four shows. Make it six shows, including tomorrow, before you're in front of a live crowd again.
Yeah.
So that means you've got six matches. However, you've got Hell in a Cell in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings it down to four TV matches that you have to cover before you do that.
Four TV matches.
And also challenging Keith Lee pops out.
Well, Sheamus just broke his nose, so I don't think he's going to be in the ring for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
No.
He just had surgery the other day, so we may be holding off on that.
Hey, well, who broke his nose?
Ricochet.
Carrillo.
Humberto. Whacked him in with the forearm.
Who?
Humberto.
Humberto Carrillo.
Yeah, so that's his current feud with Ricochet and Humberto. That takes you for a few more weeks until you're back in front of crowds.
So, well, there's all that speculation anyway. Up next, guys, creative control. We've seen wrestlers with creative control, and we've seen what it does. Hulk Hogan had creative control. Practically almost every single goddamn match when he was a full-timer went according to what he thought should happen. And we all know how great a ring psychologist he was. Bret Hart had creative control and only ever exercised it once, and it bit him in the ass. and there have been other wrestlers with various degrees of creative control. Is it smart to give a wrestler control over the outcome of their match, Omega?
Nash had control during the Finger Poke of Doom.
Yeah.
I think that's about all the argument I need.
Okay.
No, creative control. No. I mean, aside from, you know, they're contracted talent and, you know, that's not authority they should be given in the first place. It just lets ego get in the way too much. You know, we saw that with, you know, like, we'll never know how many stars were going to come out of the post-attitude era.
Yeah.
Simply because Triple H kept politicking everybody down.
Yeah.
I might just be bitter over RVD, but still.
The tiniest little bit, but no reason to hold that against you. Casey, you're a wrestler.
Yeah.
If you had creative control and you're in a match with Steven Styles, who wins?
If I have creative control?
Yep.
Depends on where we are in the program.
Okay, well, you're usually in the opening three matches.
I don't mean like, is this just like a one-off, or is it like, are we feuding?
Take your pick.
Well, I mean, I'm the wrong person to ask because my creative control is kind of like, I would try and find out from, you know, the booker what they're like, why are we wrestling? What is it? What are we, you know, what's the outcome supposed to be? Like, and I mean, it could just be me knowing that, hey, I don't think I'm going to, I'm not The Rock. I'm not Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm not, you know, putting any big name talent there. So like, I always wrestle in a way that is going to be what is going to be the most entertaining outcome.
See, you're answering the question as a wrestler who cares more about the fans than himself.
But that's why we're there. We're there to put on a show. We're there to entertain people. And if you just having creative control so you could win is not going to be entertaining to the fans, then I don't see the point.
Yeah.
But that's just me. So, like I say, I'm not really the guy to ask the question to. If I had creative control, I'd still do what's best for the fans and for the company as far as like keeping fans coming back, as opposed to doing whatever I wanted and driving fans away just to make sure that I win the matches that I want to win.
I, as a as somebody who is booked and promoted, have always had the belief that each wrestler in the matches has the right to offer their input.
Yeah, collaborative control is great.
Yeah,
because if
let me finish now.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're telling me, like if Otto and I are saying, okay, you're fighting this guy, this happens, that happens, and you do the job, and you're like, well, wait a minute. What about if I go over and then I'm going to say, tell me why?
Yeah.
And if you can defend that, then I will take that in consideration when whether or not we book it differently or keep with what we've outlined.
Oh, absolutely. I am a big fan of collaborative control.
Yeah.
Like to be able to, you know, be told the outcome of the match. And if you don't agree with it, as long as you have an idea that makes sense, then why not at least ask? And hopefully, you know, the booker will hear it out. And one way or another, I'm sure you could come to some sort of mutually beneficial agreement that will be good for everybody.
Yeah. Well, when we were doing our run, Otto always took care of the opening matches. And then he and I would talk about the rest of them.
Yeah.
Right. And what kind of input did you ever give Otto?
For me, I mean, at the time, I didn't really give any input at all, because at the end of the day, it was along the lines of like, you know, usually what I was told the outcome of the match was and why the outcome of the match was the way it was, I understood and I was perfectly fine with it.
Yeah. Which is no problem at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just going over all the shows we did. And this is going to come across completely the wrong way for people listening. But we didn't really have you in any important matches.
No, but that's okay with me because
I just have the feeling I got, you know, I just feel like I need to explain what I mean. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes. But,
When I say we didn't have Keishi in any important matches, we had filler matches, like all wrestling shows have filler matches. And then we would have matches that actually work towards telling the main story leading to the main event. And these guys would fight in match number two or match number three, and it wouldn't seem like it mattered until you come to the show, like three shows later. And then all of a sudden, if you're one of our regular fans that comes to every show, then you get it. And when speaking as a booker, when I say that Keishi was, always in a filler match, that's not a shot. That's not taking anything away from them, because filler matches can be some of the most important matches on a wrestling card, Keish.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and they can be some of the most important ones, too, and some of the more entertaining ones.
Yeah, I mean, they're a lot more freeform. You can kind of, you have a little bit more, you have more creative control when you have matches like that, because usually at the end of the day, as long as you give the booker the outcome that he wants, then you have a little bit of free reign to come up with something collaborative with your opponent.
Yeah. Omega, what is your thoughts and opinions on all of that? Having the wrestler have input for collaborative control instead of letting him dictate the outcomes.
I think input works best, because no one's going to understand a character better than the person portraying them.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. Is like, you can write for somebody and you can write a direction, but if you're not letting the talent portraying them like make the adjustments, it's going to be off for everyone involved. Doing things that the audience isn't going to understand, doing things the wrestler isn't going to be comfortable with.
Yeah.
There's got to be a balance there.
Oh, that reminds me. There was one time when I sought some input from you, Keishi. Do you remember?
No.
I wanted to know if you could fake speaking Japanese.
Oh, yes. And I straight up told you that that was not going to happen because I can't.
And I said, you can't even bullshit your way. He says, nope, not even going to try.
Nope.
And that's all fine. And this is the input that I got, and so we scrapped a complete idea where you don't speak English and you had a translator, and it was like all bullshit, which would have been funny, but it wouldn't have been something you were comfortable with.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely fine. So we dropped that.
You know what you do?
Yeah. So
you have him be, English is not his language. And he's kind of shy, so he whispers everything to his translator. Absolutely. That would have been the only way it would have worked. And then a nice little payoff would have been, after a little while, I could have been like, in plain, like, non-accented, non-broken English, being like, how come you don't say anything that I tell you to say?
That would have been funny.
Yeah.
That absolutely would have been funny. So, but man, what are you going to do?
Save it for the next guy.
Maybe save it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Do we have anything else we want to talk about?
I don't know. I think we covered everything of big topics.
Okay. Well, we did have one or two more things, but we're actually we're going to skip that tonight.
I mean, if you want to do all time greatest, we can, Tim. It's up to you.
Well, we don't have to. We can leave it till next time.
Okay, that works for me.
See, you just want to get off because you got the boxing match to watch.
I'm not watching that fight.
There you go. Okay. Programming note, everybody. NXT TakeOver next weekend. So The Rock is going to take over our slot Sunday to talk NXT TakeOver.
Woo woo.
Which means no WrestleTalk Radio Pick'em. Because Hell in a Cell's in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll be back right after Hell in a Cell. That being said, seeing as we're wrapping up, don't forget tomorrow, immediately following Raw, it's the post show.
It is the Raw post show, 11 p.m. Eastern.
What happens on Thursdays? It's The Rack with your host, Lindsay Ward.
It is The Rack.
Eastern.
It is The Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll have news and the preview of NXT TakeOver in your house this Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. And throughout the week, why don't you just get on Twitch and play like Fortnite and shit?
We do Saturday nights right before CB Radio. Use creative code RocketSocket for 99% new season started by Battle Pass. Use the code hashtag Epic Partner.
Hey, you know what you should do? Maybe do an episode of the Rack Extra.
Nah, I'm good.
Not this week?
Nah, I'm good.
Well, okay, fine. Don't do any extra Rack Extra.
There's enough you can go listen to.
There you go. Saturday night's midnight-ish, close as they can get to. It's another edition of the Wild, the Wacky, the Unusual, the only fans of Logan Paul in the world, CB Radio.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, you do have, what's his name?
We have what's his name?
Yeah, I just drew a blank.
What's his name? CB Radio Saturday night's midnight-ish. GreaterGritDebate.com, CBRadioLive.com.
Yeah, and of course we're all over social media, so check us out on Facebook and Twitter.
It's Twitter.com/WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, and WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and Twitter.
And of course you can follow me on Twitter at Flames Forums, and if you don't, I recommend you do, because I put some pretty good stuff out there on Twitter, unlike Casey, who basically last week said something that I can't remember because it wasn't that funny.
That's because I'm not funny, Tim.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, you can find me occasionally tweeting things on Twitter at Kyle Driver. Sometimes I also put pictures on my Instagram, which is also at Kyle Driver. If you would like to watch me do any wrestling, you can catch my most recent matches at the Clandestine Society Act 2, which can be found on the Backbreaker Media YouTube channel. Also watch me at Real Canadian Wrestling on their YouTube channel, RCW Online. And also, we will be going back to doing shows as of June 18th here in Calgary, Alberta, and then the following night in Edmonton, and those will be going weekly from those dates on.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, Omega, it sounds like he's starting to catch up with you with the social media stuff.
I mean, he's trying. He's welcome to attempt.
Okay.
So, for my social media, if you want to follow me over on Facebook or Instagram, you can search for The Plastic Addict. Everywhere else, you can find me under the name TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel. That is the website, TJOmega.net. That is the Twitch channel as well. I try to keep as busy as I can.
Do you get any sleep during the week?
Sleep?
What? At all?
What is this sleep?
Okay, then if that's the case, you're busy enough.
He takes power naps.
Well, he's got time for power naps. He gets busier.
Well, no, power naps are like when you sit in a chair holding something that will make a really loud noise, and as soon as you fall asleep, you drop that thing and wake up. So they're only like 2 or 3 minutes long.
Oh, you mean time travel?
Yes.
It's like I'll be working until about 5 in the morning, and then when I'll blink, and it'll be noon.
Yes.
I've done that one.
Okay, yeah, I do that.
There you go. Fair enough. All right. So, everybody join us here next Sunday night for talking discussion over NXT TakeOver with the Rack crew. And then Russell Talk Radio returns in 2 weeks to review Hell in a Cell. That being said, have yourselves a good one, everybody. Make sure you don't get too wet or too hot. Enjoy.
WildTalkRadio.com.